Well, they were all jealous of you.
The Medina Township regular meeting, trustees meeting, will come to order. This is March 30th, 2023. The time is 7 o'clock. Roll call.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Join in a moment of silence for our military, first responders, past, present, and future. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for coming. We have a lot of things on the agenda tonight. We'll start right in with some resolutions. So I move to adopt resolution number 0332023-024 to approve the Medina Township payroll dated.
It's 042.
What?
042.
042, dated 3/31/23 in the amount of $53,143.52 with total remaining deductions withholding liabilities in the amount of $6,299.61 and incorporate this two-page document by reference. Set.
Second.
Before you move on. So I did take all the necessary steps here. We went to the prosecutor's office because I had, you know, I did the payment that I questioned with the opt-outs, got a legal opinion. I do still want to state my objections on that for the record so that that is entered into the minutes.
You want to put an objection on this?
I do, yes.
That's fine, but did you pay it?
Did you look at the payroll journal?
When did I get the payroll journal?
Today.
I didn't get it today.
What are you voting on?
I don't normally sign that to them.
How are you voting on payroll without knowing what's on it?
Nick never sent them out either.
Well, I mean, are you voting on?
I can look at it here in a second.
Well, okay, I mean, but you should be, you should know what you're voting on.
Oh, I do agree. And that's why I asked you last time at the meeting to send it to us too.
Well, I send it to town hall and then I would, if you want the payroll journal,
why would it, you just asked me why I would expect to not have the payroll journal, but you said so. In last meeting, I said you should send it out to us.
Chrissy, can you send it to everyone when I send it out?
I will, ma'am. Yeah.
But I mean, before you vote on it, I would expect that everyone, it's sitting up here, so I would expect you to look at it. So.
For 2 seconds. Let me send that, please.
What are you objecting to?
I'm objecting to the opt-out payments, so.
Are you going to make payroll?
Here.
Okay.
This is
okay.
Payroll.
Okay.
I'm objecting to the opt-out payments.
Okay.
I'm objecting, so. Now, there was also a resolution passed at the last meeting, and I just so you know, the paperwork that went along with one of the resolutions for Lieutenant Zija had stated that his opt-out was pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement, and Lieutenant Zija is not a member of the bargaining agreement, so it should be noted that that paperwork was incorrect. So,
sign that second page.
That's important to note.
Then you have the next resolution.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
You got the 40.
Yeah, I know. The site plan's next.
Yeah. So we're going to move the site plans at this point. The first one is for Prince of Peace Lutheran Church at 3353 Medina Road. Is there somebody here representing?
Good evening, trustees. Dave Sterrett, 411 West Smith Road, Medina, Ohio. This is for sign. Okay, I thought I heard you say site. Yeah.
So you want an electronic billboard that's going to be put in, message board?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
No, I was at the...
Okay. I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the zoning commission to approve digital ground sign for Prince of Peace Lutheran Church located at 3355 Medina Road, not to exceed 30.33 square feet as presented. Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Is that the only one for him?
That is the only one for him.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. I'll be right back. I got another one.
You're friendly. We look forward to it. The next site plan is for Agency One Insurance LLC, located at, the property is located at 3955 Pearl Road.
Hi, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Good.
So, what can you tell us?
We are an insurance agency.
Your name?
Oh, I am Christine Heeb with Agency One Insurance. We have been in Medina since 2007. We're a third generation insurance agency. We are moving our building in the front, and then our commercial business is going to be in the front building. In the back apartments, we're going to have our special needs son in the top apartment, and hopefully rent to another person that is in need of space as well in the bottom. And then we're going to be close to him, which is our biggest thing, and we're super excited about, because we're a little nervous about his transition, and we know that he needs 24-hour respite, but we're going to be there as well. So that's kind of our plans at this point. And then to maybe finish off the storage area, maybe into an additional space for either our office or storage, which I think it's going to be storage initially, because we need the space.
You need the space.
Well, yeah.
Good luck to you. That sounds great. Any questions?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
then I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the zoning commission approved. Change for use of agency for change of Agency One Insurance LLC to be located at 3955 Pearl Road as presented.
Second.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Do you have B, C, and D? The next one.
Okay. The second one here is four.
Not yet.
It's for LLX, for Agency One Insurance again, LLC, at 3955.
Am I coming back up?
No, that's me. For sign.
Yeah, just right
off. Oh.
For sign.
Pardon?
For the sign.
This is for landscaping. This is for landscaping.
Yeah, no. So, right here, if you just...
Oh, so, okay, ground sign. Okay.
And you'll probably have one more. If there is another one, they all have that issue. So it's just a sign. All you gotta do is disapprove that.
Right.
Okay. For a ground sign.
I know it can be confusing.
Pardon?
It can be confusing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any comments to make on it?
No, other than the I don't know what address is on there, but I guess the post office has notified the owners that the address was changed to 3955.
Yep.
So it is 3955.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you read it into the record, I just thought we'd make that correction.
Okay. Anything else?
No, as presented.
Okay. Then I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission to approve ground sign to be placed on the existing identification sign for Agency One Insurance, LLC, located at 3955 Pearl Road, not to exceed 20.39 square feet as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
But they're also like,
yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that, because the next site plan is for Life Force Chiropractic, located at 4087 Medina Road, Unit 4.
Hi, Paul Berlow with Fast Signs, 2755 Medina Road.
Okay, what can you, you want to add anything to what's in here?
No, simple signs, same monument, new tenant. Just a directional sign out on the road, a directory sign on the private property, and then another small sign in front of his front door.
Okay. All right. Then I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission to approve the change of use for a Light Forest Chiropractic to be located at 4087 Medina Road, Unit 4, as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
And we have one here for, this is going to be for tenant panel at Light Forest. So this is going to be, there's a second sign that's 6.25 square feet.
Yeah, there's three total. One
right
out by the road, a tenant panel.
Okay.
Yes.
Anything to add about that?
Okay.
I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission to approve a tenant panel to be placed on the existing ground sign for Light Forest Chiropractic located at 4087 Medina Road, Unit 4, not to exceed 6.25 square feet as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
The last one is, this is for another, and it's a small sign. It's 1 square foot. Anything there? Nothing. Okay. I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Board to approve a directional sign for Light Forest Chiropractic located at 4087 Medina Road, Unit 4, not to exceed 1 square foot as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
I'm being signaled that there's a, I see the arrow down here. Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
And then there's another one. Yeah. I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Board to approve a second directional sign for Light Forest Chiropractic located at 4087 Medina Road, Unit 4, not to exceed 1 square foot.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Give me all those. Just give me a buzz. I'll help you out with that design. The ground line, they're really good. Thank you, Denver.
The next one is a for Siren Beauty Studio. Is okay.
Evening, Joe Scheinman, 5019 Victor Drive.
Anything that you want to tell us about what you're doing?
Actually, it's my wife. She's in another country right now, so I'm kind of here filling in.
That's a good
She planned
excuse.
A trip about a year and a half ago, so.
Okay.
She's just a change of use from, it was a spa, and she's basically going in there as another spa.
Okay, very good.
Do you have any questions for me? I'll try to answer them.
No, I don't have any. You have? Okay.
Okay.
Then I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Board, the Zoning Commission, to approve a change of use for Siren Beauty Studio, LLC, to be located at 5019 Victor Drive, as presented. Roll call. Sorry,
second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Again, I make a motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission to approve a tenant panel to be placed on the existing ground sign for Siren Beauty Studio LLC located at 5019 Victor Drive, not to exceed 5 square feet as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
The next one is make a motion to accept the recommendation of the zoning commission to approve a directional sign for Siren Beauty Studio LLC located at 5019 Victor Drive, not to exceed one square foot as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Excuse me, Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Good luck to your wife when she gets back.
Great.
The last one is, I think it's the last one, is Stretch Lab Medina.
Yes, sir. Oh, sorry, no, sir. No, sirs. Yes. Mr. Trustee. Is that better? No.
No.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Just forget all of that.
What can you tell us about it? What do you want to tell us?
Introduce yourself and name and address.
Yes. Anita Washburn, owner of Stretch Lab Medina, taking over the space that's been vacant at 4891 Medina Grande Shops, Medina, Ohio. This is just my wall sign, so it's what's going to go up above the storefront. That's it.
Okay. Then I make a motion to accept recommendation of the zoning commission to approve wall sign for Stretch Lab Medina located at 4891 Grande Shops Avenue, not to exceed 17.3 square feet as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You have the next one?
Yeah. Search and train request.
Yeah. So you're going to do the...
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
So you just announced that. Next is purchase orders and train requests.
Yeah. So, okay. So the next item is purchase orders and training request resolution.
I have one training request here, so. I will move to adopt resolution number 03302023-043 to approve the Medina Township training request for the police department dated 3/30 of 2023 in the amount of $1,225 to attend the Ohio Tactical Officers Association located at the Cal Harbor Resort Conference on the dates of June 11th through June 15th of 2023. This is for instructor certification courses for Sergeant Cliff Nicholson, submitted by Chief John Minnick, incorporated in this one-page document by reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
I missed that up. Lieutenant Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Johnson. Sorry, I'm going to redo it.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
We have a 50-50 chance.
This next one is for appliance sales resolution. I move to adopt resolution number 03302023-044 to approve a then-and-now purchase order for home appliance sales and service, Lodi Showroom and Outlet Center, in the amount of $2,150 for the purchase of a stainless steel GE Energy Star refrigerator for Medina Township Service Department and incorporate this one-page document by reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Oh, I have the agenda.
Okay, this next one is for approval of accounts payable. I move to adopt resolution number 03302023045, to approve the payment listing for 324-2023 to 330-2023 in the amount of $61,454.09. The electronic checks from 16-2023 to 17-2023 and physical checks 32714 to 32734 incorporated in this one-page document by reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
There is something on the regarding the warrant list. Last meeting, the trustees voted, adopted a resolution issuing, directing the fiscal officer to make payments to North Gateway Tire by way of a resolution.
Say that again.
Last meeting.
Right, yeah.
The trustees adopted a resolution directing the fiscal officer to make payments to North Gateway Tire by means of using a then and now purchase order.
Right.
I cannot do that because I would be making a false statement by doing that. I reached out to the auditor's office and then to Forrest Thompson, and Mr. Thompson agreed that I cannot do that. So I'm not sure why I let each of the trustees know that I'd be making that false statement. The exhibits that were attached in the resolution, the July payment that was necessary, there were not enough unencumbered funds. There was only 21 cents. That exhibit was left out. So I'm not sure why I was put in that position in the first place. But I tried to tell the board this prior to that resolution being issued. However, you know, I don't know why the board tried to go that route. Regardless, you did, and that can't happen. So on Tuesday, Mr. Thompson responded to the email that yes, that can't, you know, that it indeed could not. I obviously can't be certifying something and making a statement that's not true. So he said Mike, which I believe my clients, I think that's the only Mike over there, was looking for another method, a legal means to pay those bills. But I've not heard back to date. So I don't know if any of you have.
I haven't heard anything from him. I didn't know that you got back on that, but
you were copied on it, so.
Well, to the point of, we have a company, a local company, mm-hmm. that we owe money to. Mm-hmm. I would think that it would be the utmost priority that you would help out on trying to figure out how we can figure out how to pay them.
Because I am trying to
keep
that's
bouncing
why.
It off of us. And
I'm not bouncing it off of you. I took it to legal, so I don't know what do you think I'm trying to do?
I'm just asking you to try to figure out how we can figure out how to get this thing paid. I'm sure in this whole entire state of all these different townships and stuff, a bill has been missed before where there was no funds. There has to be a way to be able to pay them.
This is for the three invoices. If you went into general funds, was there any money in any there? Any
no,
there?
There was not. That's a, I know Trustee Eastwood keeps saying that, but he's missing the point.
No, I'm just asking you. There's no
there
money in there in any line item that could be used for this.
It's not that there's no money now. It's that there wasn't money then. That's the problem. There wasn't the unencumbered funds then. That's the issue that we're facing.
If there were funds that were encumbered
Unencumbered, you need to.
Okay, unencumbered back then in a general fund?
There were not. That's the problem that we're coming up against.
Okay.
So.
So how would you recommend getting the vendor paid?
Well, that's.
No, I mean, you're the fiscal officer.
I understand.
You're here to give us guidance on fiscal matters. This is a fiscal matter, so how would you guide us into getting this vendor paid?
Well, so first and foremost, my guidance is what it's always been, to turn in the bills in a timely fashion and follow purchasing policy.
Yeah, but that's water under the bridge, over the dam, all those things. So now we have to get, no, we have to.
We keep saying that, so.
We have to solve the problem. So what do you recommend as a fiscal officer we do?
Well, first of all, I'm not an attorney.
Pardon?
So I'm not an attorney.
I didn't say you, I said you're the fiscal officer.
Right. So, well, that's, but we do have to follow legal guidance.
I never ask you not to, never.
Because, first of all, I don't know if this board went to an attorney to write up that resolution or if the board did it by themselves. I was left out of that.
The last resolution was, it was through the attorney.
Okay, so, I mean, the attorney told you to ask the fiscal officer to make a false statement, which is not okay. But my advice is going to be something that would put the board in non-compliance, because that would be the only way that I can see getting the revised code says that if at least two trustees sign off on a payment voucher, that the fiscal officer then takes the steps of contacting the state, that if I believe that not to be a proper payment, I take the steps of contacting the auditor's office.
Well, it actually says the prosecutor's office.
Hold on, I'm not done. You just interrupted.
No, I'm going over the steps.
Auditor's office first, then prosecutor's office, then put it on the record at the meeting and cause it to be in the minutes. I would do all those things, but I would pay it, but I wouldn't pay it by then and now, because I would have to make a false statement. So the only thing that would happen is that we would have to pay it with 2023 money. We would have to pay it with a blanket on 2023 money, and the two trustees, or if you wanted to wait for the third, that's up to you, but you would be putting yourselves in a position that you'd be non-compliant, because I don't agree with this. Because again, you want to say water under the dam, under the bridge,
no,
that's
when
fine.
Wait a second. When I'm saying it's water, I'm talking about it's already happened. We can't change what happened, so we're looking for a way to pay it. I'm not arguing that the bills didn't get there. I'm just saying they didn't get there, so now how do we handle it? That's what I would talk about.
Well, I understand that, Bruce, but the thing is we've had these situations too many times. So it's like, it's one thing if it's an emergency or a one-off type situation, but this hasn't been a one-off type situation.
You mean if this was a one-off, you would pay it?
No, I'm saying if this had happened one time,
right,
where like it was oh my gosh, this really legitimately, like the mail, something happened with the mail and it just, we missed it. But according to Trustee Eastwood's email, first of all, these bills have been sitting in a folder every month for the better part of a year.
No, I'll correct that. Yeah. The statements were sitting.
Well, right, yeah.
But they were, and I actually questioned them when Nick was here, and so I would assume that he would have been investigating in why they weren't paid in 2022.
I can't speak to that.
Because if they were stuck in the folder, then nobody knew about them, except for Nick.
Okay, but I mean, Nick's not here to defend himself, so I can't,
So what do we do?
Okay, but there's also, you have to think about, there's a department head who is also supposed to be tracking their purchases and their expenditures. So that's why we have that checks and balance.
Well, then we're going to have to wait for the prosecutor's office. I know you said that you talked to Forrest Thompson. We'll have to wait for Mike Lyons, since he probably has this on his desk, and he'll come up with something. we certainly can't. So are the rest of the bills going to be paid?
Oh, you have them.
I'm just asking. I want to make sure. I don't want any confusion.
Everything that's on the warrant list has been paid.
Okay, very good.
It's just that you have...
Okay, fine.
I was just thinking, in the course of all the townships, all the years that a bill has gotten lost, that there would be a means to pay this without having so much drama on it. Because as a small business owner, working with a township, I enjoy working with townships and stuff like that, but I also would expect to get paid by townships no matter what.
Would you be willing to lie and say that there was money unencumbered if there wasn't? Would you be willing to do that?
I would just figure out a way to get them paid. You know, we asked the prosecutor's office, we've asked you.
Right, no, I'm asking you a direct question. Would you be willing to lie?
We're in a way for the prosecutor to give us direction, and I think we've spent enough time on this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Bring up this lying stuff.
Okay, so...
Well, that's the only way to do that, Chuck.
We'll move on to bank reconciliation. And this is a resolution number. So I move to adopt a resolution number 03302023046 to approve bank reconciliation dated 2/28/2023 and incorporate this 3-page document by reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
This next resolution is for approval of revenue status. I move to adopt resolution number 03302023047 to approve the revenue status as of 2/28/2023 and incorporate this 7-page document by reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Next resolution is the approval of fund status. I move to adopt resolution number 03302023048 to approve the fund status dated 2/28/2023 and incorporate this 1-page document by reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Next item on the agenda is a town hall generator, or a generator for town hall. Recently, we've had a number of power outages here, and it has negatively affected the entire township. It's affected the fiscal officer. She hasn't been able to get to the computer here because it's down and everything. And I just see a tremendous amount of wasted time. So I really want to look at having Denny Miller look into sourcing or getting some quotes, probably at least three quotes, to find out what our options are as far as putting in a generator for town hall. So that's my opening comment. Any comments for you, trustee?
We've talked about generators a few times. Right now, they're actually kind of hard to get. One of the other ideas is, and I'm not 100%, are the computers battery backed up? Or do they have power box, the batteries underneath them? So they do have some time that once the power goes off, that they get shut down.
Yes, but just so you know, they don't last long enough. And
no.
Lighthouse actually suggested we look into battery backups that are much more expensive, but they don't even, unfortunately, have the length of time that we would need to keep
right,
the computer
exactly.
out.
Yeah, again, we've talked about the generators. I actually think we've approved going after generators. I think that we just have run into some roadblocks with COVID, and even looking at the commercials is like, hey, when generators do come in stock, we're ready to install. But
well, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, if we don't start it, we won't ever get it. I think it's money well spent, because I've been here a couple of times when they've been down. The people working town hall can't do anything. People coming to town hall, myself, Trustee Johnson, Eastwood, Fiscal Officer Venture, you can't do anything. And so I just think it would be money well spent. We should look into and see what the options are. I know there's a lot of different manufacturers out there and commercial grades and whatnot, but I think we should look into it.
There was something I remember, and this was quite some time ago, but Denny, and I don't know if anyone's talked to him recently, but there was something about running, the line would have had to be run. I don't know if you were here, Chuck, this was before your time, Bruce. There was an issue.
There was some electrical issues
yeah.
with where the location of the generator would be, where the power box is and stuff like that.
Right.
So I know there were some issues. And one of the things I even said too is if we do get a generator, it's going to see something that's going to be an asset to the township for a while.
Right.
And that it would be something that we maybe would want to move in the future if we were to update town hall and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So, and that was, again, that's kind of where we left it. We approved it. Denny was looking into it. He did have some issues with the electrical, but you know, I'm sure.
All we can do is look into it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a motion that we have Denny Miller look into getting some quotes on generators for the town hall.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. New business.
Yep.
Real quick, just up along the outlines of the computer, I'm just so you know, because of all the power issues, I took the UAN computer home.
You did
so
what?
I grabbed the UAN computer because I can't keep coming up here to have to restart it. But that actually opened up some issues with, I had been experiencing issues with emails just going missing. And I have been on the phone a lot with Lighthouse this week. We have narrowed it down. You know, the UAN laptop runs a different version of Outlook than Lighthouse has us on. So they're running some tests, but they did ask me to, you know, find out from everybody, like, just have you guys be aware and look and see if you've got any. Like, my emails, for some reason, are going, like, when I send emails, they're going directly into my trash. So they've been checking on their end to see if, you know, they're even being received on the other side, you know, if they are going to send. But just kind of look out for that, and if anybody else is having that problem, see.
I've had issues where I've looked at emails and come back a day or so later, and the ones that I looked at, because I know I read them, they're marked as not read, and I'm like, very weird.
Okay.
And somebody else had the problem. I forget who, somebody else in the township had the problem, but that it hasn't happened now in a while, but it was very, that was probably 2 months ago. It was very strange.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely let them, you know, because they're aware of the issue, and we're going to keep working on it, because, like I said, some have been moved to trash and some we can't find altogether. So, you
yeah,
know,
no,
we can't have.
Oh, no. You know, we
you know, emails.
Because it doesn't do any good to think you read something or responded or whatever and have to go back and do it again.
Correct.
So all right. We're on new business?
New business.
Okay.
So the next part here is police department full-time officer. So we've been looking at an officer last
time we approved going through the assessments and stuff like that. So at this time, I would want to be able to offer them a position with a motion. So I'd like to make a motion to appoint Eric Lubinski to the position of full-time police officer within the Medina Township Police Department effective Monday, April 24th of 2023. Eric will be considered a lateral transfer according to the OPBA contract, Article 25 of Section 4, and credited with 1 year, 0-1, of previous continuous law enforcement patrol experience for wages only. His wages will be $24.18 per hour according to the OPBA contract, Article 25, Section 1. Wage scale for this first year. On January 1st of 2024, he will receive $25.15 per hour, and on April 24th of 2024, he will receive his second anniversary pay of $27.47 per hour. Every year thereafter, he will receive his increases as outlined in the OPBA contract. In addition, I authorize Chief Minnick to issue Eric his initial uniforms through Akron Uniforms in the amount not to exceed $2,500 from line item 2081-210-420-0620, operating supplies uniforms, effective March 30th of 2023.
Second. Any discussion?
I'm just happy he's going through the thing. I hear he's a really good guy, and I'm looking forward to getting our police department back up.
And this, I think, for everybody, as I understand it, Chief, this is just a replacement for Colin.
Yes.
Okay, so this isn't even really getting us to where we want. This is just getting us back to where we were. And so I...
The uniforms... Chief Minnick, how is that $2,500?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll need a purchase order for that, too. If you want to fill out a requisition.
Yeah, we'll fill that out and I can look at that. All right, we can do a roll call on this, right?
Yep. Yep. Roll.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Chief's gonna fill out a purchase order for me so I can fill it.
I'm sorry, I think we talked about this before, right? Did he already go through the testing?
Yes.
Or do we need to do a
No, we did the
we
testing.
Did that. Okay, I just couldn't remember.
And, that, and again, now this next one I have is testing for a new one.
Okay.
Do we have to wait for a
We'll do PO afterward.
Okay.
So,
yep.
So again, just looking to replenish our police department. We're going to look at having another one go through the evaluation. So I would like to make a motion to offer a conditional offer of employment to Ethan Scott Schiparlo as a full-time police officer within the Medina Township Police Department pending the successful completion of a background investigation, a polygraph, a drug test, and a psychological test. So I authorize Chief Minnick to expend $750 to Western Reserve Psychological Association from line item 2081-210-319-0000 and 452 integrity verification from line item 2081-210-319-0000 effective March 30th of 2023.
Second.
So this discussion on this, we'll probably have to put POs for those too, right?
Or not is that if a there's, blanket? Is there a, bl-
there's,
you have
there's
your
sp- enough money encumbered.
Yeah, then no, we don't have to.
All right.
And the only thing I'll say here is this officer, if came on, we'd finally be getting closer to where we should be. And this is where the chief and I disagree. The chief says we need one more. I think we need two more. So you won't find that too often. But with what's happening in the world today, we cannot have police out there patrolling by themselves without backup on the shift. And it's so important. We see what's going on, and it's just critically important. So we really have to be working towards building the police force and getting it to that number.
Can we vote?
No.
Can I get a vote?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
While we're on the police department, is everything on where we're supposed to be at with the workers' comp claim?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure. Okay. Great.
Do you have that PO filled out?
Yes.
I'll take that.
First order request.
Thank you, sir. Next thing I have in front of you, though, is we're looking to do a grant through the U.S. Department of Justice. So I would like to make a motion to authorize Chief Minnick and Lieutenant Zija to apply for a grant through the U.S. Department of Justice Community-Oriented Policing Service for Law Enforcement Mental Health Wellness Act in the effort to establish a mental health wellness program for the Medina Township Police Department effective March 30th of 2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
What are the terms of the grant? Do we have to contribute?
There's no matching funds, so that's why I ran this grant.
Okay.
And then for, looking at getting uniforms for our new officer, Eric Vinsky, I would like to make a motion for a purchase order requisition. The department is the police. The vendor is Akron Uniforms. And again, this is for uniforms in the amount of $2,500.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
And Chief, maybe he has his own already, but I'm not sure. Does he need a vest as well?
I didn't.
Does he need a vest as well?
That's going to be coming later.
Okay.
And we still have the vest grant thing. So.
But do we have to upfront the money though? Still though,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I will fill out a purchase order for that.
Okay, but it tells him we don't need to do that.
He has the vest right now.
Okay.
And I decided that we're going to hold off on any like the vests and stuff like that until they complete
probation.
Their training program.
Okay.
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 I don't want to go through what we went through.
Okay. Yeah, just want to make sure we're not missing any.
Yep.
Well done. Okay. The next item on the agenda is trustee comments. Trustee Johnson, do you have any comments?
Just going back and forth with a couple people talking about doing something for a township day. Gonna look at maybe advertising for some help, but I know Chrissy has offered some help, and Elaine, Chief Minnick, and also Mitch Fisker from the zoning board. So we got a couple good people to help on that. We're just kind of brainstorming right now, and I want to talk to two different organizations because I'd like to have their input on the dates and stuff like that. And once I get that, we can probably at least shoot for a target date in stone. To try to move forward.
What are you looking for, August, September?
Yeah, August and September.
Okay.
Right now we got a couple dates in
right,
August
but I
that
mean,
we're free.
You know, that kind of time, right?
Yeah, last year's was in July,
right.
And I thought maybe it might be hot, but I got both hot and a storm, so maybe Mother Nature will be nicer to us in August or September.
Hey, it was a great thing until the storm came through. It was a lot of fun. People had a lot of fun. There was a lot of enthusiasm. I think it's a great idea. I'm glad you came up with it last year and you're doing it again this year. I don't really have anything I made mention of as far as the police, the need for them, and the generator. So those are all my comments. Next is public comments. Are there any public comments?
I'd like to make a motion.
No. I'd like to make a motion to open public comments.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Sandra Billick, 3414 Hamlin Road. I think you did a really fine job tonight, Bruce. Being the chair, I just wanted to let you know that.
The what?
I said, I think you did a fine job chairing the board tonight.
Thank you.
First time ever.
Yes. Because the minutes are so far behind on the website, I did detail for the trustees and the fiscal officer a summary of the discussions from the March 16th meeting. I also detailed the problems and dysfunction that occurred at the last meeting, so I just want to recap those. This isn't a point blank game. It's in an effort to do things better so that we can function better as a township. Number one, this is an example of not following township policy when the trustees approved the paying of the full uniform allowance and the 40 hours against the advice of the fiscal officer. Number two, the fiscal officer had to remind Trustee Eastwood about the $1,000 purchasing limit and the need for purchasing orders. Number three, the OPRS letter situation. The fiscal officer asked the board to hold an emergency meeting to make a decision on it. Apparently, the fiscal officer took it upon herself to take care of the situation. Otherwise, the township would have incurred additional penalties and interest. Trustee Eastwood decided not to hold that emergency meeting. Number four, to me it's problematic that the trustees and the fiscal officer seem to be getting different answers from people, like from the OPRS situation and the then and now situation. Number five, duplicate bills continue to be submitted for payment. Last time we had the example of Cintas, and Chief Minnick said he would try to do better on that. Number six, I don't know why there isn't a better procedure for these invoices. I know the board said you came up with a new plan. Hopefully that will help alleviate things. I just don't understand why that's happening. I don't understand why original invoices aren't being stamped with red. I don't understand how these North Gateway bills got lost. There just seems to be some kind of a disconnect with bills, especially coming from the police department. Number seven, the payments got delayed for the opt-outs because the figures were wrong on the legislation. That doesn't seem to be a mistake of the fiscal officer, but it seems like the fiscal officer is getting blamed for the delay in making those payments. Again, it was a problem with the legislation. Number eight, there was a discussion and problem again with requests being made to pay the delinquent invoices with the then and now. I'm not sure why that problem is continuing to happen. Trustee Eastwood seemed to imply at the last meeting that Tisha from Local Government Services indicated it was warranted to pay those delinquent invoices from North Gateway with the then and now. But that isn't what she said at the Local Government Services training on January 31st. There she indicated that they're to be used for emergency situations only. Number nine, not following township policy again with the credit card payments. I'm puzzled why it is so difficult for trustees to turn in their receipts and expense reports on time and accurate to the fiscal officer. So you made a resolution to waive the 5-day requirement, but did you take into account the time crunch situation, just like we have with payroll, to get things turned in accurately and on time with the fiscal officer? It doesn't sound like it. Interest penalties will undoubtedly result due, and I hate to be so blunt, to the laziness of the trustees. Number 10, the records custodian. We're going on over 4 months now that records requests are not being filled. This is problematic. It's going to get the township in trouble. I'm not sure why a records custodian hasn't been named, and I'm not sure why Trustee Eastwood seems to be implying that he can or should fill records requests. Number 11, there was some discussion at the last meeting about the records commission that the fiscal officer was talking about. I was taking a look at the Ohio Township Handbook today, put out by Keith Faber, and it specifically talks about this records commission. The trustees might want to revisit that verbiage in the handbook. At the last meeting, Mr. Krupp mentioned in his public comment about the North Gateway tire bills not being paid and seemed to blame the fiscal officer for that. Well, how can the fiscal officer pay bills that haven't even been turned in? Number 13, the Township Handbook talks about the certified public records training requirement, that all elected officials are required to receive 3 hours of certified public records training for each term of office. Further states the purpose of the training. The training is designed to enhance
the elected official's knowledge of the duty to provide access to public records. Number 14, the handbook also talks about the statutory damages as provided for in the Ohio Revised Code when records requests are not being made. It's $100 per day for each business day during which the township or person responsible failed to comply, beginning with the day on which the requester files a mandamus action to recover statutory damages, up to a maximum of $1,000. That's per records request. It could get rather costly for the township. That's it. Thank you.
Very good. Anyone else?
Crookston Road. It's North Gateway Tire. Are these legitimate bills? That's what I thought. And why have they not been paid? I think it's incumbent upon the fiscal office to find a way to make sure that these are paid. They're on her desk. That's her job. Pay the doggone things and have it over with. Been talking about it for months and months and months and months. You spend the time figuring out how and why, where to pay it, to be done.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Ken Ackerman, Baker Road. I know at the beginning of the meetings you say that we should have all cell phones turned off. I see too much going on in here that there shouldn't be any electronic stuff going on. We have our physical officer texting people. We have people out here texting people. We have people videotaping this meeting. That shouldn't be done. With things the way they are nowadays, you can edit any of that stuff and it can get out to the public. So I just think we should have any electronic stuff going on. Excuse me. That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I just bring up about Sergeant Nicholson's daughter.
Oh, yes.
Sergeant Nicholson's daughter today holds the world record for weightlifting for her class and her age. She was in Albania and won two gold and a silver, and overall won a gold, and also holds the world record for weightlifting for her age group of 15. And I believe the weight was like 253 pounds. And she's on Team USA down there in Albania, and she's probably going to end up going to
Yeah. Matter of fact, I said to the chief, I said, on my security detail, I want her, not Officer Nicholson. So I have to text it to him.
Very impressive.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Then, make a motion to adjourn.
No, close public comment.
Oh, close public, make a motion to close public comment.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Make a motion to adjourn?
I actually have a couple things. I would like to speak to the electronic issue real quick, because if I'd be more than happy not to use my electronics, but if we don't release payroll by a certain time and I don't check on it, then nobody's going to get paid. So if we don't do that, then, you know, so if we'd like to, I'm more than happy to do that though. So just to let you know on that. I do need a little bit of follow-up on a couple things. Trustee Eastwood, right before the meeting, and I think you have copied on this, Chief Minnick, so sent me an email with several officers, had taken screenshots of their computer screens, but they cut off their names, and then attached spreadsheets, but again, without names, just badge numbers, showing that they believe they are being shorted on either vacation time or sick time, maybe both. Unfortunately, they only want to show their badge number, and they're asking either Jamie and I, you know, our paychecks rep, to look into that. I obviously can't do anything with just a badge number. I don't know each officer's badge number. There's only one officer.
Some were brought up to me, but I thought they were gonna check their things today. I'll email you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
You're on there, but I, you know, the last time this came up, it was the lieutenant said he was off by vacation time. I spent, you know, about a half hour on the phone with our payroll rep.
And that was fixed.
He was spot, like the vacation time was spot on.
That's why I'd rather wait till tomorrow.
I don't want to keep, I will say this, you know, our paychecks spends a good amount of time on these things.
Yeah,
I don't want to keep spending their time on things that are unnecessary.
I think it's the calculations, okay? It's not showing like what they changed to rounding, getting rid of the 4.61 to, I think it was like, 4.7. The calculations, I think that's what they're saying.
Those are updated. Those were updated right when the board changed it. They are. And they are showing in the system. But, I mean, they were updated back in whatever that was, January or February, when the board made that.
Is it updated by hours?
It's updated by every 80 hours worked, yes. Not including overtime.
Because I think one of the questions was, why isn't it showing like it did show before it passed, where it was showing like some like 4.62 or 4.8, and that's what they're saying. Now it's not showing it. They're showing like 3.1 for
the first, 3.1 is that first stage, like when you work 0 to 4 years, the vacation time accrued is 3.1.
Right. That's how it used to show.
Yeah.
Now it's showing like hour, I believe.
Right, because when the trustees changed the rules that people only, they don't have to work 80 hours anymore. Now this doesn't, the bargaining unit has to still work 80 hours, but the rest of the township doesn't. Paychecks had to go in there and reformulate how the accruals work. It has to be broken down to a per hour accrual.
Per hour accrual?
Yes, and paychecks can't change it. It has to be just for everybody in the township. So instead of, like for instance, you know, when someone is at 4.6, like, you know, I'm just going to use you, sorry, Elaine. But Elaine earns 4.6 hours for every 80 hours work for sick time. So that breaks down to 0.0575. For every hour.
So it's not calculated at 4.65 weekly.
Correct. It's just per hour work.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what that's doing. But again, without if you can, you know, if you can get me names instead of badge numbers, because I can't go in and verify that the correct assignments, you know, like per person, because I don't know. There's only one person's badge number I know.
Okay.
So.
I'll email it to you tomorrow.
If you can make sure, again, like I said, because when the lieutenant had submitted his,
his was fixed when he got it.
We spent a lot of time on it just to find out it was, you know, not the right.
I'm pretty sure it's vacation accruals.
There was somebody who had sick on there too. So
yeah, the one I was talking with Hallie,
that's
the name to this one. She was expecting 6.2 hours per pay period. But it's showing 3.1,
right?
And that was why she was questioning that one, and you know, or she says it's showing 3.1 or 2.713 hours per pay period of paychecks. This is against the contract. She's just saying, so that one's on vacation. I didn't hear about the sick one yet. So.
Okay, I'll have to without seeing her name. Like I don't know her badge number, so it could have just. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not like maybe it got keyed in wrong or something. But without being able to put a badge number to a name.
I'll verify tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll get names and stuff like that.
Because, yeah, like sending that off to Jamie, and she would, if she just sees a badge number, she's not going to know what to do with that, you know. So there was that. And then I also had everybody copied on this that went to Prosecutor Thompson as well. But we've had... you know, when the credit card policy was adopted back in 2019, that, you know, and that was before all of your time, I guess, but there was House Bill legislation that had passed, House Bill 312, and which made all of the townships, every entity actually, that had credit lines, like anything, credit card or line of credit that they used, we had to follow certain rules. And there's two different methods to have a credit card, you know, to have these credit cards or lines of credit in the township. Custody or control model, which would mean that the fiscal officer has to keep the credit cards and people have to sign them out, you know, from me. That was not the method that was convenient, obviously, for any of us. Or a compliance officer model, and that is the what the township elected to do. At that time, Nick Dominguez was the compliance officer. We could not have, the compliance officer is not supposed to have a credit card. But
he had one.
Well, when the new board came in, he got one.
Pardon?
When the new board came in, this new board got him a credit card. So, yeah, so here's the problem. We no longer are in compliance with the credit card policy. I've sent this off also to, you know, Prosecutor Thompson, because right now, like, there's just, we're not meeting the majority of the criteria with House Bill legislation. So that needs to be addressed.
I've actually been trying to work on that somewhat. So in the past 2 days, as much as I can between getting the meeting together and everything. Okay. So just so you know.
Yeah, so.
I haven't said anything to you because I just been doing another stuff.
Yeah, there was just, with that most recent resolution with the changing of the turning in the receipts in the timely fashion, the problem with that is I know the board took the stance of, you know, paying the bill in advance and then trying to, if something was like an unauthorized expense, you know, trying to collect on it later. But the problem is we can't, as a township, you can't pay on an expense that, like, let's say if some, like, alcohol was put on a credit card, on a township card by accident, or somebody used, you can't pay that. And so, but if receipts aren't turned in.
Well, I will say, I turned in the receipts that week that we came back. I gave them to Chrissy and we put them in the folder. Mm-hmm. You had picked up your paperwork on Saturday. So then you must not have picked up that folder until the next meeting, which would have been the next Saturday. But I paid for most of my stuff with cash. Only the parking and one thing was on the credit card.
Yeah, I understand, Chuck.
This isn't directed
like saying, specifically to you. I'm stating this as an overall general, like, I'm just, again, this is not meant for you to take personally. I don't expect
nothing less, but all I'm saying is I was in compliance, but we still haven't been reimbursed.
There's reasons for that. There's also, there was an expense report by one of the trustees that got turned in. Then the expense report was changed and added, like, because the credit card receipts had not initially been added to it. But then not only that, there was an additional cash amount added to the bottom of it. I don't know how the board wants to handle that. There's been a lot going on this last couple of weeks. I mean, a lot of things that were, I believe, more important, like getting this budget issue taken care of. And there's just been a lot that I don't think that, you know, dealing with a refund of, you know, $100 or whatever is probably the most important thing right now. So, you know, we gotta take this in order of importance, you know. So,
well, we got the budget out of the way.
The budget is, you guys are done. The problem was, as I had gotten the first set of legislation, I had it that halfway in, and then you passed new legislation, so I.
So, I understand passing legislation is making a resolution and everything. So, before we did that, just since we're on the subject, we said that we were going to go over it. You could not make any meetings. You wouldn't give us a schedule to even work on your schedule, so we did the meeting. But we had told you, even at the trustees meeting, that we're going to go through it and then we'll present it to you to review, since you're the fiscal officer and you would catch anything that we might have done wrong or make some suggestions. And then after it was in your hands to review it, we would make it legislation for you to enter.
That's not what you did, though. You actually had it stamped and approved, so you didn't. That's not how it was presented to
me. The way Mr. Eastwood at the end of things says, okay, this is done by us and we're presenting it to the fiscal officer.
But that's not how it was presented to me.
I did not present it to you, so I don't know that, but I do know in the meeting that's what how it was made, the motion was. And we also said at the trustees meeting when you were here that we'll go through it and we'll present it to you.
Okay. That's why I've asked for resolutions from here on out, because the thing is it doesn't matter. You can always make changes, which obviously you did. And the thing is when I got that first budget, it was presented to me as an approved, a board approved document. So whatever you said before that kind of becomes irrelevant at that point, because that's how it was presented. So.
And who presented it to you?
Medina Township.
I mean, we said it that night.
I don't think you can blame Chrissy for that.
I don't blame anybody.
It was voted on, it was approved, it was stamped. I mean, that's, you know, I processed it as such. That's all there is to it. So now, and I, as I've stated multiple times, you get one chance at the temporaries, one chance at the permanent. So once it's in, it's not, you can't wipe it clean. It takes going back and doing each one of those by a reallocation. So I have to go through each number, and if something's incorrect, I have to subtract one line and add it to a different line. So it's much more time consuming than just, you know, than.
So when we made those adjustments, whatever it was, 8 or 10 adjustments the other day, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't even know, honestly, because I haven't had time to get back to that. So we'll just,
okay, no,
yeah,
okay.
It's just going to.
Okay.
I'm going to check back on the email, but did I put for your review? I don't
no,
remember
it was
what
just,
I wrote.
It was just the budget and the certificate that they passed. So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. It's done now. I mean, we can't, you
it
know.
It is in the like, meeting, though. If you listen to the audio, Doug does say that.
When you say it is what it is, did you put in the first one we sent to you, or did you put in the revised one that we sent?
I had already, I was about halfway through the first
one. Right, I remember
one.
You saying,
the
I
only,
was here.
The only thing on the revised one that was probably something that would have to be done was that one from Denny. Everything else I read in there, I don't know if he needed to make the changes
well,
or
one
not.
For the police,
well,
for the
there's
uniforms.
One, and I noted the general fund number was off, too, was different, too. So
well, he did change it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just, right, so. He put money into natural gas and stuff like that, and I had multiplied all the months that we had. I think we would have been safe, but he wanted to be safer.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it, like
his.
I said, it's, you know, but, so there was that, and then lastly, Trustee Christopher, you had emailed me about a disaster plan, and I know you had asked about that before, I think, and I did, I know I didn't attend the local government
right.
meeting, but I did watch it that day,
okay.
later that day. I think we're all talking about different things, so I want to be on the same page here, okay? What the auditor of state talks about with a disaster plan is when a township is in fiscal distress, they come in and they push.
But maybe I gave it the wrong title.
Okay. So now the auditor's office will ask a township. What, you know, like what the last the township, not me, you know, but like if there's ever a fire or, you know, some sort of natural emergency or natural, you know, disaster, what the township does, you know, like if we have fire cabinets, you know, fireproof cabinets and where you store your backups and things like that. But that's a township question, you know, not for the fiscal officer. So I guess I'm just not real clear. I printed this off for you too.
What I'm asking for is if something happens to a fiscal officer,
mm-hmm.
then how do we know where to go get this? What other fiscal officers in the area are going to be backing up that fiscal officer? What the combination of the safe is, where the keys are to open things. We need all of those things. We need all the passwords. We need all of those things.
Passwords for what?
For whatever we'd have to get into if you've got something, because if something were to happen, then we wouldn't have access to the things we need to keep the township running.
Well, okay, I'm going to stop you right there because, Bruce, and you got to think this through right now. I mean, that sounds absolutely absurd. If I were to give a password to, like, let's say the bank account, how in the world, and somebody were to open that and go transfer out $1 million in my name, how would I be able to ever prove that that wasn't me?
Okay. How do we, as trustees, if something were to happen to you, where do we turn to say, okay, we need all this stuff, the safe's locked, we don't have the keys, where are the keys, who's backing up the township, what are their fiscal officers? As far as I know, do you have anything like that?
Well, when I went to the OTA thing, I actually went to the fiscal officer roundtable. One of the articles that they brought up was they called it a contingency plan.
Okay.
And it was a sheet of paper, and they had a list of a couple other fiscal officers in the area that is familiar with that, and they basically worked together. It's a note that says, okay, the thumb drive for this is here, and this is here, and this is what would need to be done. So it's just kind of like a little cooperation thing. And so if somebody becomes incapacitated, or God forbid, you know, something worse.
Right.
That the township can continue to run. Because with the trustees, there's three trustees. One goes down, you still got two.
Right.
With the fiscal officer, there's one. When that one goes down, then people aren't getting paid and things, you know, bad. So they were calling it a contingency plan.
Okay, so maybe I gave it the wrong title. That's what I'm looking for. And so
just so you know, I mean, when there is a method for all this. I mean, even when a fiscal officer, when there's a change in fiscal officers, UAN doesn't have the old fiscal officer give the password to the new fiscal officer. Like when a new one is elected, they assign the new fiscal officer a username and temporary password, and then that person goes in and creates their new password. I mean, there's this, you don't ever do anything under the somebody else's username and password. Well, that's just not,
I've seen just what Chuck was talking about. And it says, Sue and Bob and whatever fiscal officers from different townships come in. The keys are here. This is here. This is here. So people can come right in and pick up the ball without ever any hesitation at all. I've seen them. So that's what I'm asking for.
I'm confused as to what, I mean, like, we have, you know that Chrissy has keys and combinations to safes to everything. So I don't know what exactly you're.
So what other fiscal officers do you have backing you up then?
Backing up, I don't have any fiscal officers backing up our payroll or anything. That's not.
That's the point. These plans have other fiscal officers listed on this sheet, so they can, you can call them up and you can say, hey, Bob, something bad happened. We need help right now. That's what I'm asking for. Maybe I called it the wrong thing, but other townships have this.
I would be surprised to even find out that that's acceptable to do, because I don't think another fiscal officer from another township has the legal right to sign off on payments, payroll, anything. I've never heard of such a thing. So,
well, we've both seen it.
I didn't look into it too deep, other than it went over it as a contingency plan.
I would say
it makes sense to us. I mean,
you would have to have. I mean, the revised code calls for what would happen if a fiscal officer becomes incapacitated. There has to be a deputy fiscal officer appointed. That's who would have to be making those payments, not just somebody who another fiscal officer from another township.
Do we have somebody like that set up?
I think that's appointed.
No, you can't do that until the fiscal officer becomes incapacitated. There's a.
Well, if you don't have somebody set up, how can we call somebody and say, hey, we got a problem?
Just to kind of wrap this up, Bruce, I mean, I would think that, again, if you have somebody, like say something happens, there could be a sheet of paper that would help them with where things are and stuff like that. That's basically what they were just talking about at that meeting I went to. It's a contingency plan. So if you bring in a stranger, this is where this file is, this is where this file is. It's just kind of like a helpful map, I would guess I would call it, but they called it a contingency plan. So,
do you have like paperwork on this contingency plan? I mean, maybe it would help me to see what you're even.
It was in the fiscal officers roundtable at the OTAs, and it was just brought up in there. So it wasn't a presentation. It was the roundtable that they have every year. So, and we, you know, so we. Yeah. I think he's asking you if you had one and if you knew anything about it. So obviously your answer is no, you don't know anything about it, and so
and that's what it is. I mean, like I said,
just makes sense to
we've seen them. They exist for other townships. So they know who to contact in case of anything happens. That was the purpose of asking for it. But if we don't have one, we don't have one.
All right.
So, I mean.
All right, 20 minutes.
You ready to adjourn?
Roll call. I think you already made the motion, didn't you?
Yeah. Motion to adjourn.
Second. Roll call.
Roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Time
is 8:22. 8:22.